Good morning, church. It's good to have you all here today. And as we get started with our first series here for the new year, we're going to go into the Psalms, at least for our dedicated verse for the series, where it says, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He will do it." So that shows some of the responsibility that falls on our behalf. And then the Lord also reminds us that we can trust in Him. And so as we look at this month series here of Commit Your Way to the Lord, we want this to be kind of a boost, a beginning for our first month of the year here. Knowing that we are probably all still 100% engaged in the resolutions that we made on Wednesday night. Right? Or did we already give those up? I don't know. But, see, if you don't make them, you don't break them. Right? But anyway. And so we've entitled the lesson for today is We All Need Help. We all need help. Is there anyone here that does not need help? All right, then this sermon is for you. If you don't need help, but we all need it. And so hopefully we can learn from this. And some of the songs that Josh picked out, the communion meditation that Coop did, all so many good things that align with this, that we couldn't go to the cross. Jesus had to for us. We couldn't roll the stone away. Jesus had to for us. So we all need help in this thing called Christian walk or our Christian life. And so let's begin this morning. Recently, there was a father trying to take an afternoon nap. Of course, Sunday afternoon in the living room, and his little boy just kept bugging him, saying, "Dad, I'm bored. Dad, I'm bored." So his father, trying to make up a game, found a picture of a globe in the newspaper. It was a picture of the world, and he ripped it up into about 50 pieces and said, "Son, this is a puzzle. I want you to put it all back together." So he laid down to finish his nap, thinking he'd have at least an hour and a half, 2 hours before the kid would be able to put this page back together. About 15 minutes, little boy's pulling on Dad's sleeve and saying, "Dad, Dad, I got it finished. It's all put together." "You're kidding me," Dad said. Yep. He knew his son did not know all the positions of the nations that would be on that globe or that map that was put out before him. And all the things like that. And so he said, "How in the world did you do that?" He said, "Dad, there was a picture of a person on the back page of the newspaper. And when I got the person all put back together, the world looked just fine." And did you ever think how much better, if we just get our lives all figured out, how much better the world would look? It's amazing how much better the world looks when your person is put together in the right way. We're going to be talking in this series about how to handle and to overcome struggles in this life. Isaiah 57 verse 18 says, "I have seen their behavior, but I'll heal them. I will lead them and I will provide comfort to them and those who mourn with them." This passage out of Isaiah is really a great promise of God, that there are several things that God wants to do in our life. And don't forget that. We're not in this journey. We're not on this trek. We're not in this walk by ourselves. Even if all mankind leaves us, the Lord is still there with us. This verse here in Isaiah 57 verse 18 is really a deep passage of scripture. What it's saying is that if you've been hurt, God says, "I want to heal you." If you've been confused, God says, "I want to lead you." If you ever felt helpless to change anything, God says, I want to help you change that. If you've ever felt that no one understands your problem, God says, I will comfort you. If you feel anxious and worried and afraid, He says, I want to offer you peace. The fact is, life is tough. I believe Princess Bride said something about that as well. And if they say it's not, they're trying to sell you something. We live in an imperfect world. We are hurt by other people, and we hurt ourselves, and we hurt other people. The Bible says in Romans that all have sinned. This is another, I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand on this one, because the Bible says that you're in this position, that you've sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That means no one, none of us are perfect. We've all blown it. Take a look to the left of you. Take a look to the right. We've all blown it. We've all messed up. We've all made mistakes. Everyone in this room has sin. Unless you've led a perfect life, but we've already established with two previous questions that that's not the case. But if you have not lived, a perfect life, then you've been hurt, or you've had a hang up, or you've had a habit that you'd like to get rid of. In other words, you need help. We all need help. So, maybe if we struggle with thinking, you know, right now, if I'd say, you know, write down one thing that you struggle, well, I just don't know. I don't think I could come up with something. Well, we're here to help you this morning. Okay? I'm here to help you. So what do we need help with? Just about everything. Just about everything. The important thing to know is this. Regardless of the sin that you need help with, whether it is emotional. Now, pay attention to this list. This is a pretty good long list. And so everyone's probably in here somewhere just in what I'm mentioning. Whether it's emotional, financial, relational, spiritual, sexual, or whatever, regardless of what you need to have freedom from, the steps that we need to commit to the Lord are always the same. So our text out of Psalms 37 is, commit your ways to the Lord. The principles of this commitment are found in the Bible. It is the original owner's manual, and its basis is the Word of God. So you know how we find out what we need help with? Well, one of the first things we need help in finding out, and this is maybe easier for some than it is for others, but we all need to realize or come to the realization that I am not God. So what do I need help with? To realize that I am not God. Now I know, we may be saying, well, I know that, but do you? Because we like, well, I know I'm not God, but let's just see. Are we willing to admit that we are powerless to control our tendencies to do wrong things and that at times my life becomes unmanageable? Now, as we look at that, we may almost come to the realization or the initial thought that this is a Calvinistic thought here, that this world and the way things go are just out of my control. When here, what I really want to share with you is maybe they're not as in control as you think you are. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." So, through the prophet Isaiah, we already know we don't think like God. And we know we don't act like God. Right? "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Are we starting to get the idea that we're not God yet? We like to be. We think we call the shots. We think we rule our own little universe and our own little world, but that's not the case. And let's just start with some very simple things that proves that what we think we can control may be out of our control. Do you ever stay up late when you know you should be sleeping? Because if you were God, you'd just make it happen. Right? But George and I were even talking about this morning. You know, you wake up, you know, whatever time that means, whatever time that is. And the funny thing is, so we're talking about that, and Brandon walks in and says, I've been up since 2 o'clock in the morning, walking through my own head. And we were like, yep, we get it. We understand the same thing. So do you ever eat or drink more calories than your body needs? Now, we already know just from Wednesday night's New Year's Eve celebration that you had, no matter where you were at, you already stayed up later than you should have, and you've already eaten and drank more than you should have. So you've already broke the first two questions here. So we know that you are not possible of keeping or being God, even in your own little life. Do you ever feel that you ought to exercise, but you do not? Okay, there's number three. Do you ever know the right thing to do and you choose the opposite? Or maybe it's not even the opposite. Maybe it's just off a degree. I was watching a thing this past week on this guy that was wanted to, and this happened some 30, 40 years ago, well, wanted to be a gentleman that a guy that jumps out of an airplane without a parachute and just lands in this pillow, basically, from so many thousands of feet up. And they were saying, which we all know, that it's all based on perfect accuracy. Because if you're off by 1 degree when you jump out of that airplane, 1 degree up here is a long, long way off down there. But we know the right thing to do, but do we always do it? Do you ever know that something is wrong? So here's the flip side of that. We don't do what's right, or we know something's wrong and we do it anyway. God wouldn't do that. Have you ever known that you should be unselfish, but you're selfish instead? Have you ever tried to control somebody or something and found it was uncontrollable? And that's why, as in our song we sang, Lord, I need you. I need you every hour. Because if we think we can go through this life by ourselves without any help at all, you got it messed up. If your answer is yes to any of those questions, welcome to the human race. We are all in need of returning to that owner's manual that we mentioned of God's Word. Not only recognizing that I am not God, or not realizing that I am not God, but number two, recognizing my struggle. Recognizing my struggle. The Bible has a word for us recognizing our struggle. Do you know what that is? It's just a little word. Do you know what your struggle is? Do you know what my struggle is? Nobody has a clue what our struggle is? Sin. Right? And yeah, does that start with me? Right? But sin. I don't need to ask. I don't need you to raise your hand. Because we've already established all of sin. So do you struggle with sin? Take your head and go like this. Right? This is what the Bible calls the tendency, or this tendency calls it our sin nature. My sin nature gets me in all kinds of problems. It probably gets you in all kinds of problems too. You do things that are not good for ourselves. I do them even when they are self-destructive. I do things when they're not good for me. I respond the wrong way when I am hurt. It just increases the hurt rather than lessening it. I react the wrong way to people. I treat them in the wrong ways. And then if it backfires, when I know it's not going to work, then I try to fix the problems, and then I often fix them, at least I think I'm fixing them, and then they get worse than when I started. Does that ever seem like our life? It is if we're honest. Because we can figure it out. George has always said that. That's what guys try to do. Figure it out. But you know, there's a verse in Proverbs chapter 4, in verse 12, that says there is a way which seems right to man. That we look at it and we're like, you know what? This has got to be right. But then again, realize I'm not God. This way seems right. Boy, it seems good. It seems like, but its end is the way of death. You will always have this sin nature within us. I would wish that I could tell you that once you come out of the watery grave of baptism, that you have no more desire to sin. But it's not that way. If not, it might even enhance at times. Because Satan's coming after you, because now he has lost one of his. We're always going to have the desire to do the wrong thing. That doesn't mean we're going to do it, but we're going to have that desire to do the wrong thing. And even after you become a Christian, you'll still have desires that pull you the wrong way. Paul understood this, and it's high time that we as the church understand this. Romans 7:15 says, "For what I am doing, I do not understand." Have you ever found yourself engaged in something? You're in the middle of it, and it's almost like you wake up, and you're like, "What in the world am I doing?" Or you're talking about somebody, right? And you, wait, what am I talking about a fellow Christian for? What am I doing? Those are things that we get caught up in and think we're better than that, but we're not. I don't understand, Paul says, for I am not practicing what I would like to do. But I'm doing the very thing I hate. Does this sound vaguely familiar to you? I end up doing what I do not want to do and end up not doing what I want to do. Yeah, that's about how it goes. And certainly, if we do not all say it, if we all do not admit it, at least be willing to admit that we all think it. Another thing we struggle with, it's not just the little ones, the little babies. The first time, you know, first couple words, gimme, gimme, I want, right? And that's a 50-year-old guy, right? And so as we look at that, it's the I wants, the I wants. The first step to being healed is you must understand the cause of the problem. We'll look extensively into this in the next lesson on next Sunday. But while just glancing at it here, why does this happen in my life? We need to understand the cause of it, then the consequences of the problem, then the cure. So what is the cause of my problem? The cause of my problem is this, whether we want to admit it or not, which we've already realized and recognize some things. I want to be God. Would you like to decide what is right and what is wrong? You say, I don't want anybody telling me what is right and what is wrong. I want to decide what is right and what is wrong. I want to call my own shots. I want to make up my own set of rules. I want to put myself at the center of the universe. I want to be my own boss. How many have said this? Nobody's going to tell me what to do. That means you want to be God. I live my own way. It feels good. I think it's right. I do not want anybody telling me what to do with my life. That's called playing God. What it says is, I want control. And the more insecure you are, the more you are driven to wanting this control. The more insecure you are, you want to control yourself, control other people, and control your environment. As we said from the beginning, so how's that working out for you? If I could just control myself, I'm God, I want to control myself. So how's that working out for you? I need a Savior because I can't control myself. You need a Savior because you can't control yourself. You can't control other people, and you can't control the environment. You are driven to this, and this is what we call playing God. This is a real pep rally of a sermon to start off the new year, isn't it? But until we realize where we're at and who we are, we cannot move forward. We cannot move forward. This is man's oldest problem. Genesis 3:5 says, "And ye shall be gods." Remember? If you eat this, "and you shall be gods." What did they want? They had the opportunity to walk with God in the garden. They walked with Him. They had full knowledge of Him. They were doing everything with Him, sharing everything. And Satan comes in and says, "And you do this and you'll be like gods." And they were like, "Okay. Yeah." And He gave to Eve, and she took. And her husband standing there with him, was what Scripture says, took and eat as well. They wanted to be God. And if they wanted to be God, what are the chances that we want to be God? Even Adam and Eve had it. God put them in paradise, and they tried to control paradise. God said you can do anything you want in this entire place except one thing. Don't eat from this tree. And what did they do? They ate from the tree, from the mouths of babes. They ended up right over near where God said not to go. The only thing in paradise God said was off limits, and Satan said, "Eat this and be gods." And this has been the problem from that time forward. Adam and Eve said it, and we've said it too. I want to be God. I want to call the shots. I want to run my own life. I want to be in control. And so how do we play God? By denying our humanity and by trying to control everything for selfish reasons. Selfish reasons. I want to be at the center of my universe. And so, as we said, control is the real issue. I want to be in control, and we try to control ourselves and other people and everything around us. And you know what that leads us to believe? Is that my sin is not that bad. My sin is not that bad. You know what that's called? How many believe in here your sin is not that bad? It's called denial. And it's not just a river in Egypt, right? How bad does it have to get before you admit that you need some help? How bad does that hurt have to hurt in the relationship? How bad does that pain have to get, that problem or that memory that you have, before you will admit that you need help? Many times we as Christians are sitting and agonizing and suffering in our own shame and guilt because we will not say, "I need help." And what was the title of our message? We all need help. And then we convince ourselves, "Well, I'm here because of sin, because all have sinned, but you know, sin's not that bad. Or at least my sin's not that bad." It's just a human behavior. It's our human nature. What did we say about that? It's been said that we never change until our pain becomes greater than the fear of change. We do not change when we see the light. We change when we feel the heat. We've got marriages falling apart. Kids are going off and doing the wrong things. And you get that phone call in the middle of the night. Save yourself from some pain. Start early on your commitment to the ways of the Lord. Commit yourself to the Lord. And He'll help you. He'll help you. Save yourself some pain. One man said, "It happened to me when the acid of my pain finally ate through the wall of my denial." God whispers to us in our pleasures, but He shouts out to us in our pain. Pain is God's megaphone. Let it motivate you to rely upon Him. Does anyone have pain in their life? Remember, we listed off all those things that bring pain. It's not just slamming your thumbnail with a hammer. I'm talking about deep down inside pain that makes us hurt. And yet, we're good Christians. And we ignore it for 10 years, for 20 years, for 30 years, because we want to prove to everyone else how strong and faithful we are. What we're really doing is putting on a mask and hiding from each and every one of the others our struggle, which is sin. So where's your pain level? You know, your car has a warning light. When that comes on, it doesn't mean drive faster, right? People think it means all sorts of things. You know, I can pick a piece of electrical tape and put right over it on a certain spot on the dashboard, and I don't even see the check engine light. George is in the front row going, right? But that's what we do. If we do it with our car, what makes us think we're not going to do it with our life? It's a warning light. It's saying, listen. If we're sitting here this morning, we say that this series on committing our ways to the Lord is for someone else, then you're still in denial too. Unless you have had a perfect life, there's something at least, that you need to deal with. You say, I can handle my own sin. I can take care of it. Really? Because that's where we all started off. We've all got sin. How many of you died for your own sin? How many of you from the beginning of your life said, I'm going to be good enough, I don't need a Savior? No, it doesn't happen. So we all need help. The fact is that if you could handle it, you would have already. But we all got that sheet of paper with at least that one thing on it that we mentioned at the beginning. So if you didn't take care of it, you need help with it. If you could have handled the problem, you would have, and it wouldn't be a problem still today. But you cannot, so you will not. That's why Jesus came to say in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, we're going to be looking at verses 28, 29, 30, I think 31, later on in this series as well. But come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Doesn't say anything about today's pop psychology courses. It doesn't say anything about all the ideas that the world has to get you better. Where did we say was this owner's manual? It's right there in God's Word. Jesus is the Word. He's saying, come unto me, and I will give you rest, true rest. You know, this denial, as we said, is as old as Adam and Eve. They had a problem. They ran and hid behind the bush. And get this. Who made Adam and Eve? God. Who made the bush? So do you think God doesn't know what was going on? They're trying to hide from God, and so are we. And we all kind of chuckle inside, just like we did. And that's how silly it is. That we've got somebody that wants to help us. We all need help. We know where to find it. Make the move. Try this. Try talking to God about your struggle, about your shame, about your sin. You know what more people than not will say when you tell them, talk to God about their sin, their struggle, their shame? More people than not will say, oh no, I couldn't do that. I wouldn't want him to know about that. But he already does, and he wants to help. You cannot get fixed until you fess up and face your faults and admit each and every one of us need help. If you're here today and you're outside of Jesus Christ, we understand that we all need help, that we need to commit our ways to him. And how does that happen? It starts by believing in Jesus and what he wants to give for us. Because we've tried it our own way. And how's that done for us, as we've said? We're still hurting. We need to repent of our sin, confess Jesus Christ as Lord, be immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sin, and then live faithfully for him. Because when we do that, then he has made a promise to us, a promise that he will be faithful, that he will give us the Holy Spirit as a guide, that he will be there for us, that he will help us through these times of struggles. And we don't, especially, I understand it if the world is struggling with these things, but there is no reason at all that the Lord's body needs to be struggling with these things. But yet, each and every one of us do. Come to him. Turn it all over to him. Before it's too late. He's the one that wants to give you rest. We don't have to wait for eternal rest when we die and go to heaven. The Lord says, come to me and I will give you rest now. Will you stand as they lead us in our song of invitation?